Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mum?
Yes, darling?
We won an award this week.
Well, you won the award, darling.
Mum, there is no I in team.
Darling, I know you...
There is no I in table manners.
Yeah, that's clever. But, thank darling, you did win the award, and I was very, very proud, and you looked beautiful, and you spoke beautifully.
I don't know, I spoke hurriedly and nervous. It's really nerve-wracking speaking to people when you're not under the influence and singing your songs.
You were one of the two women, only two women that won.
Yeah, it was a bit of a joke that. But we are so thankful. Thank you so much to the Audio Production Awards that gave, well, me the New Voice Award. So yes, you are listening to the new voice of broadcasting. My name is Jessie Ware, and here is my mother, Lenny Ware.
I was going to go gold.
Why gold?
Because you got the gold award.
Well, I did get the gold award, but whatever. It was amazing, and just a big shout out to everyone that's involved on this podcast and everyone who's come on and taken the chance to be cooked for by us and basically then? Pounced on. I don't mean physically, but we've definitely, you know, we've Paxmaned a few people.
I don't think so, darling.
You don't think?
No.
Oh.
Not with our luxurious cooking.
I thought when I asked Jay Rayner if he would do Greg Gollis, I thought that was pretty Paxman.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much. We're so chuffed to get our first award for Table Manners, so thank you. Right, it's Sunday.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
I want a zig zig. That's the clue.
You'll know who it is because it will be, you've chosen this podcast to listen to because of the name. We have Scary Spice coming over to ours for a Sunday roast.
For roast.
We know Scary Spice likes a roast because she talks about it a lot in her new book, Brutally Honest. I feel like she references a roast chicken, maybe more than the Spice Girls, actually. But we're so excited. We've got a Spice Girl. I can't believe it.
I know.
I'm actually going to ask to get a picture with my daughter. I think with the Scary Spice.
With her scary, your daughter's scary hair. They'll match.
What is on the menu today, Mum?
Well, it's roast. It's roast chicken because she loves roast chicken.
Yeah.
But because
we may have been a bit scared and we kind of let her choose the menu because we wanted to get it right.
And we wanted to make her happy. And I've done Yorkshire puddings. Because she's from Yorkshire and she loves Yorkshire puddings. So although they don't traditionally go with a roast chicken, I think everyone loves Yorkshire pudding.
She got Cheryl round to do her Yorkshire
puddings. Her Yorkshires and boil and with her meat cooking for hours to make the gravy. So we've got roast chicken stuffed with my kind of made up stuffing, which is with pecans and apricots and thyme and rosemary and lots of herbs. And it smells lovely. Mm. And I made red cabbage, braised red cabbage, your favourite.
But it's a bit Marmite because our brother hates your red cabbage. And I think it's the best thing in the world.
I do as well. And Alex has done his special roast potatoes, which are usually the best, crispiest roast potatoes in the world. And then we've got some chipolatas. And, of course, the meat comes from the wonderful ginger pig.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ginger pig. Pudding. She says she's not a pudding person.
Yeah, but I think everyone likes a bit of a pud after a nice roast.
I think we've done this quite selfishly for ourselves because it's getting near to Christmas.
So I've done a panettone bed and butter pudding.
Lovely.
And
have we got cream to serve with it?
Yeah, we've got cream. Great. So panettone bread and butter pudding to serve afterwards.
I just finished her book, and there was a chapter about her saying goodbye to her father, and who passed away, I think, last year. And I was sobbing in bed, and I have lots and lots of questions to ask her. I hear she likes to talk about fannies quite a lot, so I'm going to go straight in there.
Fannies?
Yeah.
Why?
I think she calls them something else.
What's she?
Pussies. I think that's her choice of word.
Get on well with Donald Trump.
I don't know if she uses what my daughter calls it, a fan fan.
A we'll
talk about her fan fan rejuvenation that she writes about.
Wow.
Yeah. But so excited to have Melanie Brown on the podcast for a Sunday roast with a Pinot Noir.
I was always wondering what you're going to say there.
It's now 1:45. We've been waiting for 45 minutes, and I don't think Scary Spice realises what an impatient person and not very understanding of late people I am. So apologies to listeners that may have to hear us go straight into the nitty-gritty through slurping of the gravy and chomping on the chicken, because the chicken is done and I don't want to sacrifice the chicken. Mum, who are you texting?
I'm not. I'm deleting my messages.
Oh, this is what we're doing now. We're doing admin. I've been waiting so long.
Well, I'm trying to stay sober.
And now the baby's going to wake up too. So this is going to be a fun house. It's going to be a madhouse.
Jessie, did she like Primitivo or is it Chateau Neuf du Pape she likes?
She likes Chateau Neuf du Pape and Pinot Noir. Have you got Chateau Neuf du Pape?
I've got Primitivo.
She says in her book that she can tell an expensive bottle of wine from a cheap one.
Well, this is expensive, I can tell you.
Should we see if she can tell that it's an expensive bottle of wine?
There's not
going to
be any wine left.
Yeah, there's not going to be any wine left.
That's 10 quid.
Mum, that is not an expensive bottle of wine. 10 quid is not an expense.
Hello.
Hi, sorry we're late. Get in. The chicken is going to be dry.
I know, I've been telling me off the whole time.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Nice to meet you. This is my husband, Sam.
Hi, I'm
Thank you so much for being in Clapham on a Sunday, having a roast with us.
Yeah.
I can't quite believe it.
It's perfect. Well, I love it.
We did a roast because you write about it a lot.
Yeah.
Almost more than like the Spice Girls, you talk about the bloody roast, your mum's roast chicken dinners.
Yeah, yeah.
And you barbecued Yorkshires.
Did I barbecue Yorkshires?
You talk about barbecuing Yorkshires at one point. I don't know, or somebody did it for you.
I don't think it was me. That was probably my dad.
Did it work?
Barbecue it. No, you can't barbecue a roast, a Yorkshire pudding.
Well,
no,
but I was wondering whether it did work, because I wondered whether we could include that in our cookbook.
I think it did to a certain extent, but there's nothing like a proper Yorkshire pudding in the oven and you watch it rise.
Mum has done, she is, I love mums because they almost are like a flan, because sometimes they don't rise, but they've risen today.
Yeah, but they're probably taste shit.
With enough gravy, it'll be all right. I am going to be a really embarrassing person and I am going to ask if my daughter can have a picture with you. I've never asked anybody. She's got to have a picture with the Spice Girl.
Yeah.
She may look nonchalant in it, but I'll be like,
that's fine. That's funny. That's funny, actually.
My brother was in your mama video.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how that happened.
Because our mums were in that video.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't even tell our mums that we were shooting a video that day. We just invited them down on set.
And they thought they were having quality time with you.
Yeah. And then they were there on camera. My mother is such a shy person. She was so embarrassed.
Oh.
She wanted to kill me afterwards.
She's very pretty, your mum.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah. Those pictures of her are gorgeous with your dad.
Yeah.
He's very handsome and rather grand, debonair.
Yeah. Cute.
Well, how long is it since he passed away?
A year.
It's a whole year.
Last March, yeah.
And it's been a whirlwind.
But he's in a better place. He's out of pain, so that's some
suffered,
kind of relief.
Yeah,
badly. There was a point of no return. He was never going to get better. Yeah.
It's tough, though.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's horrible.
Is he buried
tough.
Up in Yorkshire?
In Leeds, yeah.
Leeds.
Yeah, but I think some of his ashes, not think, I know, some of his ashes my grandma took back to Nevis, where he was born.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you go there a lot?
Yeah, I've been there, well, I think every other year when I was growing up.
And black grandma.
Black grandma.
She's still...
She's still there. And my great grandma's alive still. She's 109.
Your
I think.
Genes.
109. Yeah.
You bloody
very
joking.
Strong genes on my dad's side.
You can live forever.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And she makes all her own costumes, deer wear, she calls it. It's got like she has a headscarf with a matching like neck scarf and a matching full outfit. She makes it all herself.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So your what's your great grandma called?
I don't actually know her name.
What do you call
black
her then?
Great grandma.
Oh, you just so hon, is black
grandma is my dad's mum.
Okay,
then,
but then there's black great grandma.
Yeah.
You don't know her name?
No.
I love that.
I should know her name. I should, but I don't.
So none of your children are called after any of your family?
Well, my black grandma, her middle name, which I know, is Iris. So I Angel's called name. Angel Iris Murphy Brown, my 11-year-old. Yeah.
Angel Iris.
How are the girls?
Good. Really good.
Where
so I've got
they?
Phoenix, who's 19.
Yeah.
She's back in LA. She just had Thanksgiving dinner with my friends over there. And then Angel is with her dad for Thanksgiving, and Madison's with her dad. They're all kind of spread out because when I'm not there, they all go to their
different dads. Yeah. Yeah. And where are you living in LA?
West Sherry? Hollywood. Well, I have a house in Beverly Hills and a house up Coldwater, but I mainly live in West Hollywood because it's easier for my kids to go to school because they both go to two different schools.
I love West Hollywood.
It's nice, opposite the Grove.
Oh, yeah.
Love the Grove. It's like being in England, though, a bit.
It is, but I don't mind that.
A
like
nice
that.
Market.
Yeah. Well, it's nice at Christmas because the Grove supply fake snow.
Oh, what?
I know, I've been there.
And Michael Bublé is always playing.
Yeah.
It's were you very there at Christmas?
Yeah, we were there. Because you were doing the childcare, do you remember? Because I was writing out there. Because that's what you do.
You
did what's it? Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
After 3 months of having a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jessie, do you think your body will get? Do you think your body will be like hers after 3 months?
My body will never be
like
hers
that after 3 months. I kept on my weight. I kind of liked it for a bit.
I'm sorry. I've seen the videos. You did not. You looked svelte.
No.
If that's you keeping on the weight.
No. There was a period because I actually had to go to work the day after I gave birth.
Why?
Yeah, I had to catch a flight to Australia because I was saving Simon Show, X Factor over there. And my baby, my last baby, she came 3 weeks late.
How inconsiderate.
So I'm like, oh my gosh. And my start date is my start date of when they go live. So I literally had to get on a flight the following day.
With a newborn.
And then I had to land, and go straight to work and breastfeed in between commercials. Yeah.
Are you doing any Simon shows at the moment?
Well, I just finished America's Got Talent and American Champions, yeah. Which is actually a champion show is actually a fun show.
What is it? I don't know.
So they get all the winners from all over the world of Got Talent. So we had Susan Boyle on. And she's
unstable.
A bit fragile and she's very sweet though. Yeah. And I actually press my golden buzzer for her because I'm like, she's amazing.
When you see her singing in real life, does it do that thing that
gives you goosebumps?
Yeah, does it?
Yeah, it does. It really does because she's got quite a eerie operatic kind of, she's got one of those voices that's just very grand.
Yeah.
And you don't even expect that to come out of her. I mean, it is an acquired taste and sound, but I appreciate that.
Well, I haven't watched X Factor. I'm sick of going in as the interview to be a fucking judge, and I literally go in there.
She never gets.
You'd be great. You would.
And I'm not even going. Next time they call me, I'll be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but you're right. So sweet, and yet you came across a bit nasty on.
I can't help my opinion, though. That's the thing.
Don't ask me
to tell the truth because I'll just say it.
Some of them really shite, and you think, bloody hell, how did they even get here?
Yeah, or who told them that was okay to sing
but you feel like so sorry because you just think to yourself, they've come on singing and they can't sing.
But the thing is, it's a good thing that they come on for some of them because at least they get told the truth for once. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it stops them.
In front of millions of people.
That's their fault for coming on.
It's true.
It must have been, I mean, look, I finished your book and the chapter on your dad saying goodbye, like it was, I was sobbing in bed yesterday.
Aww.
No, honestly, it really, it was beautifully put and it was, seemed so upsetting. And I mean, the last 10 years, you know,
the whole book's a bit kind of a rollercoaster ride.
It's hard
but it's
to
very
read.
Honest. It's
I'm
very
not
honest.
Gonna, I text Charlie, so we've got the same book agent, and I text him. I said, "This is really difficult. I'm not, like, it's not an easy read.
No, it's not.
Like, you start the
book. But it's
one
of those reads where you want to keep on reading to see what other things happen in my life.
Yeah, but, you know, you start... Well, no, of course. But you start with the overdose, which I didn't realise it was an overdose. So when you appeared on The X Factor...
Oh, I knew something was up.
So Mel... I don't want to put words in your mouth, but... So Mel had an overdose and then decided that you wanted out of the bathroom, and you and the bruises.
Well, he'll let me out finally.
After
the push and tug, and there's a bunch of other physical and domestic stuff. It was horrendous.
Oh shit! I didn't realise. I thought it was kind of you're like, fuck, what have I done? And I'm going to try and get out, but you were so under the influence. But then
he wouldn't let me out, and then the ambulance came and then left.
Well, because your hairdresser came round,
Mandy,
and so.
But you convinced him that, you know, I was just a little bit tipsy, which I wasn't. I was clearly...
How many pills had you had?
Like 200.
But I realised that was such a wrong route to go down, but it was almost too late. And I'm actually lucky to be alive because he kept me overnight. I should have got my stomach pump within, like, the next couple of hours, but I didn't do it until the next day.
And when we say he, Stephen, we're talking about...
Yeah.
We don't have to use his name if you don't want, just because it makes you, does it make you feel funny? Yeah.
I feel sick.
Yeah, I can imagine. But he, because you took the overdose in the evening, but you didn't get to the hospital until the next day.
Yeah, and I actually got my hair and makeup done as if I was going to work. I don't even know how I sat on the chair. And then I got in the car and I passed out, I think. Yeah, I did pass out, and then the driver took me straight to the hospital, and I got my stomach pumped and I had a few blood transfusions. And I hated the fact that I was missing work amongst all of that.
Yeah, and then you went back
and
to work.
And the girl got voted off.
No, but the next day you went back to work.
But for me it was more of a, I had to stand up for myself. So I took off my wedding ring and there's a picture of me going like that to say, fuck you,
Seven.
Yeah.
But you also chose to not wear a sleeve. You chose a sleeveless dress. You wanted to show those.
I can remember the dress.
The marks.
It was pale pink.
Yeah.
And was it feathers or tulle?
It was like
like a tulle.
A rara, I think.
It was a bit like the one, you know, Sex and the City when she goes on the bed and it was grey. But yours was a smaller version. But I remember it was that beautiful, very, very,
very
pale
feminine.
Pink. Yeah, very feminine. And you looked beautiful as well.
Oh, thank
but
you.
Your face looked so
But
sad.
You weren't supposed to leave the hospital. They
no,
were like,
they were
what are you
me
doing?
Not to. Yeah.
You were in intensive care.
Yeah. So I dragged myself out of the hospital, went there and then went straight back to the hospital.
Do
I just
you
remember pulling all my wires out, going, I have to
Was Simon super kind?
Yeah, always. And he knew what happened the day it happened because I called him. And he's always been very supportive of me, but not intrusively supportive, more like a father figure like
Is
Melanie.
He a good person?
I'm always there
person,
for you.
Then.
Very good person.
Oh, baby.
You've got to take the dummy out if you're having a picture with Scary Spice.
Lord.
I'm sorry.
Did you just wake up?
You want some cake?
Somebody call his phone.
You want some cake?
Hi.
You want to watch Winnie Pooh?
Winnie Pooh.
Sorry, my daughter has just popped in demanding cake for lunch. And of course, because we're busy, she has got it. And now she's watching Winnie the Pooh. So sorry about that.
Oh, you have cat.
Oh, yeah, a cat called Prince.
I just recently got a cat. I'm not a cat person, but now I am.
Mel?
Yeah?
Which bit of the chicken do you like?
The breast. Or just whichever.
She's done a little prayer for us.
Oh, bless you. Really?
Do you? Oh, that's so sweet. You're the only person that's ever done that.
Really?
That was a very subtle prayer, though. You just do it...
Well, because, you know, it's like, I don't want it to appear religious and that everybody has to hold hands and go... Oh,
do you do that before dinner every time?
Always, yeah, with my kids, always. And the
Since
kids'
when?
Prayers get so bloody long. They thank the milkman, the doorman, the this-man and that-man. Yeah, no, I always do it. And your chicken's great. It's not dry at all. It's perfect.
No, thanks to you, bloody Melanie Brown, I tell you.
And this is sage and onion stuffing.
No, I made it.
From scratch? No.
Yeah.
Talk us through it.
Right, so it's breadcrumbs and onion and rosemary and thyme. And it's got apricots and
pecans
in. I like making stuffing. It's nice.
It's really good.
Yeah, really good flavour.
So you put it all in?
Yeah, and then put it in the oven. Food mixer. Oh. And I just, actually, we put it in the chicken because we thought it'd make the chicken taste, give the flavour.
Right.
But do you, I know you're not there at the moment, but like Thanksgiving, if you're a roast person, I'm like, I wish I was American so I could celebrate Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a massive celebration over there.
I know.
Massive, massive, massive.
Bigger than Christmas.
It really is. The turkey and the pumpkin pie and all that glazed yams.
But you missed out on it this year.
I did. I opted to miss out. But you know what, to be honest, I think my kids are happier because they get to spend it with their dads. And otherwise they'll be with me and I'll be forcing them to eat everything or taste absolutely everything. And at their dad's, it's like a free range. There's no rules, there's no nothing.
Are those rules around the dinner table instilled in you by your dad?
Yeah.
Your dad was quite strict, wasn't he?
Yeah, and you weren't allowed to leave the dinner table until you'd eaten everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And was it good food that you were eating? Were they good?
Not really.
Okay.
My dad used to convince us that it was gravy, and actually it wasn't. It was oxtail soup out of a can that he put the gravy on the Sunday dinner. I mean, the thought was good, and his Sunday dinners were in theory good, but the gravy wasn't, you know, not so much.
But so for you, the roast is a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
But also, so it wasn't really particularly that you were having the best roast of your life with...
Well, the stuffing and the chicken was good. It was just the gravy that wasn't.
How did they do the stuffing? Was it like... Was it a Paxo?
Paxo.
Love Paxo.
I love Paxo.
Yeah. But this stuffing's really good.
Yeah, no, it is tasty.
And very
tasty. Do you
like it,
Jess? Mum, it's because
it's
fresh.
Your stuffing is always great.
Yeah, but it's a fresh herb.
Mum does...
Do you grow your fresh herbs?
No.
Why do you have a little organic garden out there?
I don't know.
Surely
London, it fucking tastes like...
It's down with rain and it's horrible.
Yeah, but you can still get like a little cage thing for it.
Yeah, I could.
You should.
Do you have a herb garden?
No, I should do. No, because I have a goat. I have a fainting goat and she'd eat everything.
Why is it called a fainting goat? Does it faint a lot?
Mm-hmm. It's bred like that. So if it gets really excited or when you feed her... And I did this purely for that response, because I will look out into my garden and I laugh. Because if I go, Billy, she goes like this, and then just keels over. And they're bred like that.
That poor fucking goat got Scary Spice as its owner. Fuck yeah. How many times has it fainted?
At least 4 or 5 times a day.
But
it's the funniest thing you'll ever see.
Well, has it got low blood sugar or
no,
something?
They're bred like that. It's a certain breed of a goat. And I tie-dye her with vegan tie-dye. So she's got all the shackle colours all over her coat. Very funny. But they're very highly intelligent. I mean, they're seen as being quite a demonic animal to have. But they are the coolest breed to have in your back garden.
Do you get goat
really
milk
cool.
from it?
No. This is so good.
Good, I'm so pleased.
And is that do you do roasted parsnip?
Yeah, roasted parsnips and roasted carrots.
Oh, we love an appreciative guest.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I bet it gets you in anywhere being a Spice Girl.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no, but I never actually use that terminology.
That
you know who I am.
They just look at you.
You'd be surprised. No.
Have you kept in touch with them just as a matter of course because they're your mates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even Victoria, everyone seems to think that me and her
no,
have this
lucky
relationship.
No, I think it's a shame for her.
Because you dressed up as her at Halloween.
Well, why not? I didn't have a costume.
But it did come when I thought she that, had that announced.
Was hilarious. I think I'm really
I didn't think that was mean. That
she
was
had
mean.
Announced that she wasn't was doing funny. The... Oh, everyone was debating whether no, she was doing...
I'd said she is joining the tour and everyone was like, Melanie, stop saying that. I'm like, well, if I say it enough, she probably will. It's like that laws of attraction, the affirmation.
She might do a little one-off, mightn't she?
No,
I hope she will. I mean, we'll see.
I think she will, Jess.
I think she will.
Well, how does it work, right? Because you're Spice Girls, you're best friends. Friends to the end, Spice Power. Yeah. But you're also a business. And so how does it work with Victoria not doing it?
Well, because we're one, I mean, she's one of five. So we but all have to agree on stuff and we all take a percentage on stuff.
Take that, wouldn't it's all out split. There, would they?
Well, they're no, but Robbie's not. Now. Yeah, but like Robbie's not making, you, like,
yeah,
is
he
she?
Is.
Oh, he'll he still will, be making money.
Because he wrote the songs and the music.
But like, so will she be them. Kind of getting, so isn't it going to piss you off that she's not doing it?
Well,
but
no,
she
because
may get cut
it's
in.
Sorted out in a way where we're all happy
fine.
With it.
Fine, okay,
because
got it.
Between us five, we couldn't be us five without us five. So it,
right.
Every single one of us is really important to each other and to the brand.
You can do like a hologram, like Tupac.
No.
At
I'm envisaging, and I said this to the girls a couple of weeks ago, actually a couple of years ago I said this, and it resurfaced again. I said, you know, we can get people to join us on stage and sing like a yeah. fill-in, like Katy Perry said yes.
That's
a good
idea.
Fingers crossed, Adele says yes, just to do the odd song.
I think they should headline Glastonbury.
I think that's been talked about.
I think it'd be brilliant.
But it's so pop and so like cool
so
and indie. It's funny. That would be funny to me.
No, that would be fucking great, Mum.
That would be great.
Shall I write to him?
Yeah, I think he'd really
He'll
like
listen.
To hear from you.
No, I think Mel C would really appreciate something like that for us to do. She's like the cool indie chick.
She is, isn't she? Like, she just kind of... I mean, is it going to be weird going back and singing those songs?
No.
Is it going to feel because, so lovely?
For part of our promo, we just got in the booth in the photo shoot studio that we were doing for the launch, and we just recorded the harmony of the start of Spice Up Your Life, and that was on the... promotion, you know, when we're in the four corners of the screen
yeah.
and we're talking about getting back together,
mm-hmm.
we recorded that live and it was just 2 seconds. We all just slotted into our parts.
What
really easy and simple.
Everyone's wondering if Richard E. Grant will be driving the bus. Because he was in the movie.
In the movie, yeah.
what I want to know, though, because I think that lots of people can be cynics about the idea that Spice Girls aren't good friends and blah, blah, blah. And I really felt like...
I think people are always saying that just because we're girls and we're together. They think, oh, no, they're all bitching with each other and they don't really get on. At the end of the day, nobody put us together apart from ourselves. Yeah, there was an audition for a girl group called Touch, but we never got signed on board with that management and there was only three of us in there. So we were very much a homegrown girl gang that's... We were on the dole together, we lived in Maidenhead, that we genuinely like each other.
Fanny rejuvenation.
Well, I didn't really Jesus. Need a rejuvenation, so I didn't get that done, but the procedure is very similar to what a woman
you,
would get
what
done.
What is it just adding, making it a bit tighter down
no.
there?
No, well, what I did was, it's a bit like, and I say this very candidly, but it's actually really important, a bit like a rape victim. When you've been raped, you want to scrub any remnants off your body inside, outside of that person,
right.
So you can just erase it.
Uh-huh.
So I went to Dr. Matlock and I said, I don't want to feel like the last person that was inside my vagina was this monster.
Mm-hmm.
So he examined me. He said, well, you don't even look like you've had babies. He goes, legally, there's nothing that I can do about that because you don't need to have anything done. And I said, well... So he didn't charge me, by the way. He said, I said, well, can you just go in there and get everything out, but then pack it with new, like, fresh tissue, but you can keep it the same shape and size.
So what, you, like, kind of scrape off the tissue?
Yeah, and then they put
and
a new...
And that's the thing.
Yeah, a new layer in. But most women, they get that done because they want to be made smaller.
Right.
Well, I didn't need to be made smaller, I didn't need to be made bigger. I just wanted it to be just be clean and new inside there.
Okay.
But it's kind of nice to know that I've got a perfect vagina to start with.
I'm glad that everyone's going to know that too. I had no doubts, to be honest, Melanie. You know.
It's very pretty, apparently.
I like the fact he didn't charge you because it was so nice.
Because your fanny was so pretty.
He just said,
of him to
can't do,
that. Do
anything. It's perfect.
But it's that lovely. Actually made me feel just better on the inside. It's like when my ex-husband made me get this tattoo. It says, Stefan, till death do us part. I own
oh,
your
is it
heart
Stefan?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I've been calling him Stephen.
Call him whatever you want. So I got, instead of getting his name lasered off, I got it cut off. I had a consultation because the doctor was saying, I don't really want to do that to you. And I said, well, you have to think about it. It's more psychological. If he's cut off my body, he's cut from my life kind of thing. And I have it in a little jar in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where it is apart from me.
And what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. My gay friends keep saying, when's the burning of the skin party? And when's the divorce party? I'm like, no, it can just stay up there.
There was something quite telling in the book that you talk about this. He kind of, it's this predator-like behaviour where you were in this hotel and you had the newborn baby that was Eddie Murphy's kid, Eddie Murphy's child. And, I mean, I found the Eddie Murphy chapter and you talking about Eddie, he seems like the love of your life.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah, I think so.
And I know you have a relationship now, like, and that's brilliant for Angel. But this, you know, Angel was a newborn and Stephen comes in and kind of decides, says, you should go downstairs. You should get out of the hotel room. And you're probably in a bit of that fog of a new mother where you just kind of, you're on autopilot, you know, knackered. And there's this picture that comes out with him holding Eddie Murphy's baby. And it just felt so...
wrong and disgusting.
Manipulated. Yeah, yeah, and
yeah, he went for visitation rights, didn't he, with Eddie? Yeah. But he didn't get them.
Well, because Eddie just shut that down. The judge said, no, if the mother and the father, her mother and father are saying no. But there is a law that allows you to be able to take the parents to court, called the stepfather's law.
Is there? Isn't one in England?
He wouldn't have a leg to stand on, surely, though.
No, it got shut down because the judge said no based on the fact that I said no and Eddie said no. But I never wanted to involve Eddie in all of that stuff because that's not his fault necessarily.
Angel did know him quite well.
Yeah.
Was he nice to her?
Very nice, yeah. But it was also very strained because whenever I would take Angel over to go and see him, that was considered me cheating on my husband. I'm like, I just dropped her off. So that got minimised, like the amount of times that I would take her over there. But now I've left, I mean, she's spending a whole week with her dad. She goes on holiday with him. It's very... she's
he must have known how in love you were with...
Yeah, but Eddie. I've never hid that, though.
No.
And even now, you know, I'm very respectful. He's got a new relationship. Yes, very good. He's got a new relationship. He's on his second baby with her, and she's a lovely lady.
Is this Eddie?
Yeah.
It just feels quite frustrating, the story...
because it's like two ships passing.
Yeah, it's like sliding doors, and you're just like, why didn't he just answer the fucking phone, Melanie?
I know, well, my mum answered
it. And then he wouldn't
it.
Have gone on the Dreamgirls bloody
red carpet
and said, it's just so frustrating.
I know.
And it seems frustrating that you couldn't repair that when it felt like such just a mistake.
It was.
It was a huge mistake. Him saying that on the red carpet and saying, I don't know if this child's mine.
Yeah.
I mean... I can't even
but
imagine.
But he apologises about that.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
it was still...
it was done.
...out there.
But, like, was there any chance of you reconciling?
Not then, no. We literally just passed each other. The timing was just all over the place. And it's only now that we can actually talk about it and almost not laugh about it, but it was kind of... it's taken us nearly 10 years to figure it out. Even Louise, when she was helping me write the book, she was like, something's missing in this part of the story. What? Tell me. And I was like, well, I don't know what it is. So then she spoke to my mum, and then she spoke to my best friend, and then she pieced it all together. And she was like, this is an unfinished story, Melanie. I'm like, I know.
It's a really frustrating love story.
It is. But not every love story always ends up like happily ever after.
Well,
that's life.
You haven't had many happily ever afters, to be honest.
No.
I think you're still waiting for
anyone
that.
Anyone else? Have you met someone?
I've met a few people.
Now.
Maybe she doesn't
want
to be with men
does.
For a while.
Look, I know when I know.
That is funny.
I can
but
tell.
I don't want a relationship, you know. It's
but
like
you, but you
my,
mean...
my friend, even my, not boyfriend, but my friend who happens to be a guy, went and hugged me the other day and I went, what are you doing? Because it just, my PTSD and flashbacks, I feel like someone's coming to launch me.
You will meet someone.
So, but I don't need to and I don't want to. My thing is I need to, because I'm a very damaged person
you
in
need
so
to
many
heal.
Ways.
You are a patron for Women's Aid now.
Yeah, they just asked me about a week ago. I'm still quite shocked. because it's everything that I've been through, and they're helping women in my situation that have either been through it or going through it or that need help to get out of it. So it's me and Julie Walters that are patrons. And I created a T-shirt called Unbreakable that's on sale, and all the money and the proceeds go to helping women in my situation, whether it be via a refuge or education or therapy or help with their kids. Yes, it's
a
really
good thing.
You just need
money because refuges are closing down.
I know. One just closed down that was 45.
They're closing down. There's
going
no
for 45
money.
Years.
They absolutely have to have money.
Yeah,
really, it's
I agree.
So important.
Because where else are these women going to go to?
There's nowhere.
I know.
To be safe.
And the government need to actually be more aware of that and start funneling the money their way.
Yeah.
Also.
They do.
Yeah.
Right, should we have some pudding? Now,
Yes. What
happened is I had a surreal thing where Official Mel B started following me on Instagram.
And then I direct messaged you.
And you did. You
slid
into my DMs.
Away.
And of course I did. Like, I wasn't going to like leave you waiting, like keep you keen. Yes, I do.
How can you
I'm
not want Victoria Sponge Cake?
No, I want everything. I'm supposed to be being gluten and sugar free, but this is not going very well. You want some of that as well?
What is it?
This is bread and butter pudding.
Oh no, I want to sit to Victoria Sponge.
Yeah, and you should.
So this is why we have two puddings this today, because basically I said, Mel, we're going to do a roast because I've been reading the book. I know you like them. Now, what would you like for pudding? Now, we don't let people choose usually, but you're Scary Spice.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
We didn't want to get this wrong. So, and you said, I'm not really a puddings person. I said, okay, well, should I get some cheese? And you went, no, why don't we have Victoria Sponge? And then I was like, fuck, shit. So then, bless our agent, Charlie,
his mother made the Victoria Sponge Cake.
It's very
glamorous looking too.
It's very glamorous.
Charlie's mum, Joanna, made this Victoria Sponge Cake.
So thank you, Joanna Brotherstone. It looks very delicious. So we've actually got panettone bread and butter pudding.
Which mum made.
And then we've also got Victoria Sponge. So Victoria Sponge, you're not a pudding person, you said.
No.
But
Victoria Sponge Cake, if I'm going to do pudding, that is my go-to and my favourite. Because it's just sponge, fresh cream and jam.
Even though
she's gone a bit fancy with like, strawberries and stuff.
She has gone
it's
fancy.
Just plain and simple. It just gets to the point.
Yeah. So what, do you bake?
No, I don't bake.
Neither do I.
But I do cook, like cook meals and stuff.
What's your meal that, if you've got somebody coming round,
yeah,
you know it's going to be a winner.
Sunday roast.
That is it. Okay, so.
It actually is. Chicken, roast potatoes, roasted carrots, sprouts,
yeah.
Stuffing,
yeah.
Gravy, boom.
Fine. Yeah. Condiments you're not bothered about?
No.
Is that because
I didn't grow up with that kind of stuff.
Okay, fine.
I grew up very council estate Leeds, so we didn't bother with any of that. We didn't even have puddings growing up necessarily.
Right, okay.
So puddings to me, it's not part of my everyday. I wasn't growing up, but now it kind of is
a little
bit
more.
Well,
do the girls like pud?
Well, they like sweets. Candy, as they call it. Yeah. But I limit that to just on a Friday.
So, okay, the roast is your thing.
Mm-hmm.
We ask everybody, what's your last supper? Desert Island supper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starter main pud.
Starter would have to be a prawn cocktail.
So many people have that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's funny.
Or spaghetti vongole.
What's vongole? That sounds very posh.
With clams spaghetti. And tomato.
Oh, no, I don't like clams. No, 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 no. You see, I want to say roast for my main dish because that is my go-to everything.
Fine.
I'm not really into red meat or steak, burgers, that kind of stuff. So it would have to be a roast dinner, Sunday roast.
And then Victoria Sponge.
And then Victoria Sponge.
And what would you be drinking?
Châteauneuf du Pape red wine.
Do you want to hear a funny thing? In your book, you say, you know, you can tell the difference between a good bottle of red and bottle of red. Mum said, don't worry, I'm getting my good bottle out. And I said, what's that? And she went, Mum,
Primitivo.
And I went, how much was that? And she went, 10 quid. That's a good bottle.
That's not bad. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Do you know Dermot O'Leary? Of course
yes,
you do.
Yes, I just said hi to him yesterday.
So he bought a bottle of wine that was £110.
Oh, wow.
We nearly fainted. And he knew
was it nice?
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't think we'd opened it long enough. But he knew more about food than we did because he'd run a restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had a restaurant in LA called Serafina. I bought it from New York.
Serafina, I've heard of.
Yeah, Italian restaurant.
Is it still there? Is that the one that you got for Stefan?
Yeah, so that he wouldn't have to travel with me so much.
So you'd keep him away, so he'd be busy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still going?
No, it shut down about 6 months ago, but it was really popular.
Did it shut down because of the divorce and stuff?
Yeah.
Why don't you open another?
I don't think I want to. It's a lot of work and a lot of energy, and I'm going on tour next year, and I've got
we need to talk about tour. How's it going to work? So we've talked about, like, Posh isn't going to be there, but
well, hopefully at some point she will.
She will, darling.
So potentially she could be.
I mean, I hope so. I'm hopeful. I mean, I can't say on the record definitely yes, because she hasn't said definitely.
I want to know, there was that picture at Jerry's house that came out, and everyone was a bit like, oh my God, something's bubbling, something's bubbling.
Oh, with all five of us?
All of you, and it was like, you'd all flown in, and you allude to it in the book, don't you? And then that was talking about getting back together, right?
Yeah. Well, that was talking about, I wouldn't say necessarily performing together, we were just going to reform and pick up our brand again.
Right.
Because Victoria has always said from the very beginning that she didn't really have the taste for performing again, even though the rest of us did.
You must have been disappointed when Victoria said she was out.
Well, we kind of always knew that she wasn't really into performing again, but I mean, I still hope that she will, and I think it'd be good for her to get with her four girls again.
Was there any friction between you lot at the height of your success? I mean, look, I get it, girls, sisters fight.
No, it was more like a sisterly bickering fight that would happen every other day almost. Even the other day when we did a bunch of radio together, me and the other girls, Jerry said something to me and I push her and she pushes me. It was like girl mates. It's like being part of a little
gang. Jerry say something about bloody Theresa May saying everyone should give her a chance or something like that?
Oh, she would have done. She's barmy as Jerry half the time. But you've got to love her for it.
How long are you doing the tour for? I mean, it sold out in like a second.
It did sell out.
Jesse, can you just ask, can we get tickets?
Yeah, yes, you can. No, because we have a reserve for each of us four.
Jesse?
On whichever date you want to come. Yeah.
I'd love to.
Yeah. Well, you have my number.
LA, you live in LA. You've been able to eat everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Where are some of your favourite restaurants in the world?
Oh, God.
Even if they're just neighbourhood spots that aren't even fancy schmants.
Thing is, I haven't been out that much recently, so okay. I don't know what the hot spots are. But I mean, I took my kids for dinner to the Ivy last Sunday after lovely. Church, which was great.
Leeds, where'd you go in Leeds?
Well, I go to my mum's.
Mm. Your mum's?
I don't really eat out, but I did have fish and chips at Harry Ramsden's. It was a chip shop in Bradford, but it was really good. Fish and chips and scraps and a bread cake.
Well, you call them buns. What are scraps?
It's the batter bits off the fish.
Ooh, yeah. That is fabulous.
And you wouldn't have with a sauce, would you have a tartar?
No.
They have curry sauce up there.
Curry sauce and mushy peas.
Curry sauce, are you mad?
All right, forgive me. I'm southern.
Christ, I've brought up a southerner. I'm from Manchester.
You lost your fucking accent, didn't you?
Yeah, I bloody did. Curry sauce, though, is
curry
the
sauce
best.
Is the best.
It's the best with
and
chips.
And it's so salty,
it's
so good.
It's so great.
It's very good.
So, okay.
Do you have a tartar? That's hilarious.
Who is she? That's what happens when you send them to private school. They have tartar with their fish and chips.
So do you have tartar with your fish and chips?
No, I don't really, but I'm not a fucking multimillionaire fucking Spice Girl, so I thought maybe you would have enjoyed the finer things.
See,
and like
I
a tartar.
I don't know which chip shops. Actually, Kirbyshire and Maltby.
Yeah, I mean, you've... Okay, fine. What's the most... This may be really too hard. What's the most memorable meal with the Spice Girls? Can you remember one meal that just kind of either the people that you were with or like...
God, there's so many. I remember when we landed in Japan and our first single had just gone number one in the UK, and we had sushi that night in the hotel that we stayed at. I think we stayed at the Shangri-La or something like that in Osaka, Tokyo. And I remember we just all stuffed our faces with a bunch of sushi, mainly California rolls, and had lots of wine and champagne, which I don't even really like champagne.
Really?
Yeah.
But you kind of have to do it if you're number one.
Yeah. And we all wore dresses, like we were all going out on dates when we were just having dinner with each other.
Who's got the worst table manners in Spice Girls?
Not me, because I actually went to etiquette school, have you know.
Did you?
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah, I won Miss Lee's Weekly News, and part of winning Miss Lee's Weekly News was you got to wear a sash, I won a Renault Clio car, and I went to etiquette classes. So you learn how to get in and out of a car, and you learn to go from the outside in.
You do your knees first, don't you, in a car? You get your feet and swing it round. Yeah. Never put one leg out first.
Well, I would not be.
How to walk up and down
London. I'm not winning that
gracefully. Yeah.
So who's got the worst table manners? Or who's got the best?
Emma.
Oh, Emma's got the worst.
Emma's got the worst because she's such a foodie. She just goes all in. Doesn't matter what's going on.
What's on your rider? What's going to be on your rider, or what was on it before? When you were at your height, what was the most extravagant thing you had on your rider?
I have like cheese and onion crisps and Wotsits and midget gems and Stella beer.
Shut up, yes.
Stella beer. What's on it now?
What's on it now? I haven't done a ride. Oh, peppermint tea.
Jessie's, you're like Jessie's got peppermint tea, she's got crudité and sodding hummus.
Well, it's just so I don't eat too
Everybody
much.
Wants yeah. big, lovely things, and she's got
chewing
crappy,
gum. And, you know, face wipes, deodorant, just regular stuff.
No puppies?
No puppies, or I don't want everything white. But I do have no soy midgets. Candles. Soy candles.
Soy candles?
Yeah.
Reiki?
Yeah.
You started when you were 19. That's pretty like, I mean, I like to think I'm a bit of a hippy-dippy, but like, that's, how did you learn about Reiki when you were 19 and you were in Leeds and you were like, who did you learn by?
Well, like, I was with the Spice Girls by the time I was 19.
Oh, were you? Yeah. When did you join them?
We formed ourselves when I was about 17 and a half.
Shit.
And then we lived in a council flat in Maidenhead, well, house.
When was that? Which year?
Well, the single came out in
96.
So a year and a bit before that.
Mum, just make her do it.
What? She won't tell you what I want.
I was on the train yesterday coming up from Leeds, and this woman said to me, I recognise you. And so then my friend started giving her clues, and she went, well, does she look a bit scary? And the woman was going, no, she doesn't look scary. And she goes, well, does baby and scary ring a bell? And she goes, she's not a scary baby. And then my friend goes, shall I tell you what I want? And she goes, what do you want? didn't get amazing. Any of it. In the end, I went, I'm a Spice Girl and I'm Scary Spice. I'm the black one in the group, okay? She's like, oh, that's where I know you from.
But I think every load of girls of... So how old were you, Jessie, in...
Year
you
were six. I remember it was like our Leavers disco.
Right. There was always five girls that got together and
also
sang.
Spice Up Your Life. I was in year seven.
Spice Up Your Life.
And at a birthday party, we all did it. It was like we all knew the colours of the world. We had the dance. It was amazing. I always felt like you got the best bits of the song.
No, because I'm so aggressive. All I would do is just yell over every song.
It worked.
I know.
And also, great. Want You Back is one of the best R&B tunes ever to happen. Aww. By the way, I mean, it was so good.
I was pregnant when I shot that video too, 3 months pregnant.
It was really, it was Hype Williams, wasn't it? Yeah.
Funny, my daughter said to me the other day, she went, because she started coming round to my house a lot more. I'm like, why are you hanging out with me so much these last couple of weeks?
And your daughter?
Said, yeah, because she's always kind of hung out with me, but she was making a point of coming.
Does she have her own flat?
Yeah. Coming in on a morning, on an afternoon. I'm like, I'm seeing you way too much. What's going on? What do you want? She's like, no, Mum. You know what I figured out? You're that old. You know, you've kind of recircled back your vintage, which is really fucking cool.
And I went, that's amazing.
What a bitch.
Mel B, Melanie Brown, Scary Spice, thank you so much for coming over.
Thank you. Oh, I loved it.
We could have you forever. Thank you for being such a
fabulous.
Good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Good luck with the Spice Girls tour. And if you need a posh Spice study, I'm there.
She's there.
Tata.
Yeah.
That's qualified, you Jeff. Well, what, darling?
How was that for you?
Well, I thought she... Actually, I'm fed up with saying this because everyone says... Lenny always says that someone's gorgeous. But actually, I thought her skin was beautiful.
Yeah.
She did look kind of quite radiant for someone who's been through the mill. Didn't you think?
Yeah, hopefully she's coming out the other side now. She had the most fabulous...
The boots.
Boots on that you can't have seen. But
well, you
they
couldn't
were...
even paint those, could you? Never mind, buy them.
It was fascinating. I wished I'd asked a few more Spice Girls gossip stories. I want to know, I now want to have dinner with Emma just to see if she can give me a run for my money.
Why don't we have her?
Maybe we should go backstage with them, backstage on the Spice Girls tour and actually
see. Did you think
it
was rude to ask for tickets?
No, I'm really glad that you did because I know that they're really hard tickets to
get. I know they are. They're going for thousands and thousands. I thought, sod it, she's in my house eating her lunch.
Do you think it's rude that I asked to be Posh Spice?
No.
Okay, cool.
But I don't think you should have the bob.
I don't think I'm going to get the gig, Mum.
Okay.
Thank you so much to Melanie Brown for coming over on a Sunday and eating our dinner. She enjoyed it.
She enjoyed the dinner.
So warm.
She's brave, isn't she?
Yeah.
Melanie Brave. That's what the B should stand for, because she's brave.
Thank you for listening to Table Manners. If you are affected by domestic violence and you would like more information, please visit Women's Aid, who Mel B is now a patron for. We can put the website in our notes on podcast.
Please donate to Women's Aid. So many refuges are closing down because they don't have enough funding, and they're absolutely crucial for women who are suffering domestic violence. They're the only refuge, the only place to go for some women.
We will put the information in our notes. The music you've listened to on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser, and Table Manners is edited by
the wonderful Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.